Hey everyone, I'm Erica.
And I'm Shay.
And we're two bestie moms breaking down topics each week here on our podcast.
We cover everything from pop culture to travel, motherhood, organization, fitness, fashion, food, and so much more.
We're two best friends just chatting about life, and we're so excited you're here. Hey Shay.
Hey Erica.
Welcome to episode 2 of the Bestie Breakdown.
Oh, I'm so excited to be back. We have our technology working 2 episodes in a row. Look at us.
Yeah, we're fancy. Fancy. Okay, so we're so excited to be breaking down Oktoberfest today.
Ooh.
We need some German music playing right now, right?
I'm assuming John's going to insert German music.
I'm sure he will.
Throughout this episode.
I'm sure he will. Thank you, though, for listening to episode 1 last week. We got lots and lots of great feedback, so we appreciate all of you listening. One of our readers, Amy, or maybe listener, I should say, said, "I just love listening to the Bestie Breakdown. I'm so glad you girls are back. It's like having a best friend date every Tuesday. Thank you."
Aw, that's so sweet, Amy. Thank you.
Super sweet. And then my aunt sent me and my mom this text after listening. She said, "I'm cracking up. I just started listening and I heard 87 times of communication." I know. That was super extreme. Super extreme.
Hey, don't make me count yesterday.
I know. I won't. We're not going to talk about it anymore.
It wasn't a one-off, Erica.
I'm still standing on the fact that that was like an insane day and it's not the norm.
Aw, your aunt's so sweet. She was referenced in episode 1 too. So her and her cream. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys so much for listening. Make sure you listen not just to us break down Oktoberfest today, kind of our first timers guide to Oktoberfest. Listen to the full episode because at the end, we are going to share our random reader questions. And this week, they include things such as karaoke songs, which I don't know that you and I have talked about this. So I think this is going to be a fun question.
I'm sure it will. I mean, I'm already now thinking like karaoke songs. What would I sing? But yes. Okay, so if you're new here, Shay and I and our husbands just got back from Oktoberfest as first timers visiting in Munich, and we're going to break it all down. But first, we have a game.
Okay, we do. So about, 30 minutes ago, Erica, I went by Erica's house and I wrapped something up and put it in your mailbox and told you to get it out of the mailbox, please, but don't open it. So would you like to describe your package before you open it?
I have it. Yes, it's some kind of a can that's cold and it's completely wrapped in aluminum foil. So I have no idea what I'm about to open.
Okay, so I was at the grocery store before we even went on our vacation and I saw this and I thought, oh, if it's still there when we get back from our vacation, I'm going to get it. And I went back yesterday and it was still there. And I thought it was the perfect thing to have with today's episode, being that we're breaking down Oktoberfest and it's fall. So open it up.
Can I take a guess first?
Yeah.
Okay. My guess is, I don't even know that this is a thing, but it's going to be like autumn Oktoberfest beer.
Okay, open
it
up.
Is that what's happening? And I should, can we let people know it's like 10 a.m. as we're doing this?
You had breakfast. Okay. I saw your breakfast.
I did. Oh my gosh. Okay. Punkel is what it's called. Mm-hmm. Punkel. Pumpkin pie spiced dunkel.
It's a pumpkin beer.
Who knew? I mean, I knew it was going to be something, right? Okay,
we're
here we go.
Crack it open and see what we think.
It is the cutest can.
Isn't it? I'm going to post a picture in stories because
black.
It's super cute.
Yes.
Ooh, mine opened.
And look, it says it pairs well with smoked Gruyere. Is that how you say that? Cheese?
Gruyere.
I was way off. Turkey legs. Hello, Oktoberfest. And food comas. Okay, here we go.
And it's 5.5% alcohol, which will be great at 10 a.m. Okay, let's try.
Cheers.
Actually, don't hate it.
I know. I don't taste. Do you taste the pumpkin? It has some kind of.
What is that? It has a very beer taste.
It's
not cinnamony.
You agree?
No, it's not cinnamony. I would say
what is
that,
it that makes it taste like?
I think I could pour it in a glass and hand it to somebody, and they wouldn't know that there was pumpkin in it. It's not as pumpkin-y.
But it's dark, right? This is a darker beer.
Yeah, it's in a can, so it's hard for me to tell. But on the rim, it looks dark, doesn't it?
Yes, it says this dark, malty German lager skips the pumpkin and is infused with cinnamon, allspice, nutmeg, and ginger.
Cheers. Happy breakfast. Since we're on the topic of pumpkin, know I love pumpkin, while you sip your pumpkin beer, I'm going to ask you, true or false, okay?
Okay.
These are pumpkin spice products. Because you know how this time of year you go to the grocery store and everything's pumpkin spice, right?
Yes.
Everything, including the beer, is pumpkin spice. So I'm going to read off some products and you tell me if this is a true or false product, okay?
Okay.
Pumpkin spice Sour Patch Kids.
No.
That's correct. It's false. Although I could get behind that. Okay. Pumpkin spice. This one's easy. Pumpkin spice cream cheese.
Yes.
Pumpkin spice wine.
I feel like that shouldn't be a thing. I'm going to say no, not a thing.
It is real. You can find it on Amazon, and I will be adding to cart because that sounds good to me.
Well, you let us know next week how that tastes.
Kind of like a mulled wine. That's what I'm thinking. Pumpkin spice Kool-Aid.
No.
That's correct. You're good at this game.
I mean, some of these sound terrible.
Pumpkin spice LaCroix.
No, not a thing.
Good. Pumpkin spice Milano cookies.
Yes.
Correct. Pumpkin spice Slim Jims.
No.
Correct. Pumpkin spice country crock butter.
Yeah, totally.
Correct. Pumpkin spice hummus.
Yes.
I have a pumpkin spice hummus recipe. It's a very good combination. Pumpkin spice Lay's potato chips.
No.
That's correct, too. And wouldn't that be good, though? A little salty, a little pumpkin pie-y?
Like salty and sweet?
You're not as pumpkin spice as I am.
No, it doesn't do it for me. It's a little much.
Pumpkin spice ramen noodles.
No.
Correct. I would eat those, too. Pumpkin spice extra gum.
Yeah, is that a thing?
Yeah, it is. I'm going to need to get a pack. Yes. Pumpkin spice Spam.
Oh my gosh, no.
That is also correct. Pumpkin spice Jell-O.
Yes.
Correct. Okay, that was our last one. You're very good. For someone that does not indulge in pumpkin spice, you're really good at this.
Okay, we talked about this on our trip. I don't even know why we started talking about it. About if we had to like stand in front of a crowd and tell people or show people our hidden talents.
We did talk about that.
That's mine right there. Identifying true pumpkin spice items and fake ones.
And so I guess I did not know what my talent was either, but I guess we could say mine is consuming and trying all the pumpkin spice items.
I mean, guys, when we talked about it, we had no talent. So that tells you kind of where we're starting from. But
Tab had all the talents.
No, he has some hidden talents. He could for sure get up there and entertain a crowd.
Nothing. They couldn't even be polite and like, oh, yeah, of course you do. They were like, yeah.
They were like, can you cross your eyes? Remember at one point Tab said, can you roll your tongue?
Yeah, no, I can't do that either, though. But we can drink pumpkin beer at 10 a.m.
And identify that pumpkin spice Slim Jim is not truly a thing.
Do you not spend a lot of time at those end caps at the grocery store or Target or Walmart that have all the pumpkin spice oatmeal and cookies and coffee and creamer?
Yeah, that's why I can identify what's true and what isn't. I mean,
but you don't purchase?
Remember the creamer that I love? My favorite creamer of all time is, do you remember what it's called? Like a pecan pumpkin. Yep. It's like a combination. And I think that's the perfect mix. I think pecan or pumpkin spice can go a little, I don't know another word other than heavy, like dark. I don't know.
The pecan, the nuttiness cuts it for you.
Yeah, it's the perfect combination. What's your favorite pumpkin spice item?
Oh my gosh, that's like a random item?
Yeah, like a food item, yeah.
Like one that they just like make in the grocery store. Oh my gosh, that's so hard. If we have to take out creamer and coffee, because I love a pumpkin spice flavored coffee with a pumpkin spice flavored creamer, that would be hard to beat. But then I want to eat like a pumpkin spice Cheerio. Really, I'm the sucker. The marketing people are, they're looking at me when they're making it. Yep.
You're like the instant oatmeal, pumpkin, the marshmallows.
Yes. Yeah. Everything. Oh, yes. Yes. Okay. I'm the one that just bought a 6-pack of pumpkin spice beer. So, oh, yes.
True. True, true, true.
They're looking at me, Erica. Yeah, they are.
Well, we're about to get into all things pumpkin, Oktoberfest, all of it.
If you ever wanted to be part of the Bestie Breakdown, well, guess what? You can. I want you to go to anchor.fm/TheBestieBreakdown and go ahead and click on the button that says messages. And who knows, your question could be on the next episode of the Bestie Breakdown.
And we're back. We are here to break down our first timer's guide to Oktoberfest, which might seem random. Some of you might be like, I have no interest in going, or I don't know. This might not be everybody's cup of tea, but it was so fun that you need to listen because we learned a lot, right? This was like way more than I thought it would be.
Yeah. What inspired us to do this trip years ago? Because we've been talking about it for a while.
We've been talking about this for a long time. I was trying to think of what inspired us. And honestly, if I'm being real honest, I think it just goes back to our communities here. Several communities in our area have Oktoberfest celebrations. And I think we were just always having so much fun at our city's Oktoberfest celebration that we kept saying we should go to the real one because we just loved it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So downtown McKinney has their own version of Oktoberfest. Clearly, it's much smaller. But, you know, it's in the fall. Typically, the weather's pretty nice. Kind of like a cozy little festival in our town. And I think when we were talking about 40th birthday trips, Shay and Tab, like their birthdays are just 3 months apart. So we were trying to combine theirs and do something a little bigger. And then, I don't know, one thing led to another. And, you know, years later, there we were in Munich.
Yeah, we kind of always talked about it. Andrew wanted to go somewhere where he could lay, you know, by the pool or on the beach. You are a little, you don't exactly know where you want to go when you turn 40. And so, but Tab and I were kind of really on board with this Oktoberfest. We'll share. But now Tab and I are 41. And so we talked about this for a long time. Then COVID hit and we had to put it off for a couple of years. But I just think for me, Oktoberfest is one of my top favorite days living here in McKinney, Texas. I absolutely love, it's a weekend, but we typically go once. I absolutely love the food, the rides, the face painting, the community feel of it, the vendors. I love the people that are wearing, you know, the costumes. I love the whole just ambiance of it. And then also at our travel agency over the years, over the 10 years, we've sent so many people specifically to Germany for Oktoberfest. And we've had friends. In fact, one of the girls that works for us, she's been. She didn't go to Munich. She went to a smaller town in Germany, but she went a few years ago. And so just hearing clients come back and talk about what a great time they had and talk, you know, Brooke that works here, she and her mom have both been, they've talked about how much fun it was. I don't know. I've loved Germany, loved it, but I've never gone during Oktoberfest season. So it was really fun to get to go this year.
Yeah. And Tab and I had never been to Germany before. So it was a great way to kind of kick off like our first experience in Germany. It was great.
I love too that it was kind of, especially for us, it was a last minute trip because we knew we wanted to go now that travel restrictions have been lifted, but we were just trying to work around Tab's work schedule and we had talked about like maybe. And when we realized we really could go, gosh, what was that? Beginning of August?
Yeah, I think we had just gotten back from our summer vacations, or maybe we booked it right before. So it would have been the end of July or the very beginning of August. And I mean, how many weeks is that? 8 weeks later, six weeks later, there we were.
Yeah, because you're talking to two people that we know we were going on our summer vacation in like 2025 already. So
I know it was very much out of the norm for us, but it ended up working well for us. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the history of Oktoberfest. So October 12th, 1810, King Ludwig married Princess Teresa, and all the citizens of Munich were invited to attend a celebration in their honor with free beer. It turned into an annual event because the people liked it so very much that from then on, every year they would get together and celebrate, calling it Oktoberfest.
Did you know that before we went?
I had absolutely no clue.
I didn't either.
I went into this trip like completely blind. I think Shay and I have mentioned before that because I'm the Disney girl, like when we go to Disney World together, I will say, okay, this is where we're going. And Shay kind of follows along. But this trip, really all I knew was what I should be packing. I knew nothing else about Oktoberfest.
I feel like I've sent enough people to Oktoberfest and I've been to Germany so many times that I should have had a better grasp. I just knew it was like a celebration, but I did not know. And so it was fun to know that it started with royalty, you know, kind of blessing the citizens there in Munich. And it became like a fun festival that they wanted to repeat year after year. I loved learning the history of it because it made it more than just, oh, they're having a party. You know, it made it for a reason.
Yes. Yes. And in 2020 and 2021, the festival was canceled. So this was the first year returning since before COVID.
And as you just heard, don't panic that you have to book this trip way, way, way in advance because it is a huge festival, but it welcomes millions of people. But we didn't plan it really, really far in advance. So obviously it's too late to go this year, but if you're thinking about next year, of course, plan early. But if you find out kind of at the last minute that you're going to be over there, you should still go. You can go last minute. It's not a place where you have to have very advanced reservations to get in or anything like that.
Absolutely. And the event runs for 16 days, except remember, we were told they added more time this year. I don't know. I thought they were going to say, I don't know, 30 days or something, right?
Because she was so excited.
Yes. They were like, boom, 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 drum roll, 17 days. We all looked like, what? Okay. But anyway, it's kind of similar to like the Texas State Fair in that it runs for like almost 3 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks. And the festival happens each and every day during that period there in Munich.
Yeah. So the original one was in Munich, which is a gorgeous city in Bavaria there in Germany. That's where the original one was. And that is where I would say the biggest, most quintessential Oktoberfest celebration is in Munich. But they do celebrate Oktoberfest all over Germany. So you could go to other German towns, big or small. Like I said, we celebrate it here in McKinney, Texas, and celebrate during those dates Oktoberfest. So if you're going to be in Germany, but not near Munich, I'm sure during that time period, you will be able to find an Oktoberfest celebration set up pretty similarly to the one in Munich, maybe on a smaller scale, but the way they celebrate and the way they do it will be similar. So don't stress if you can't get to Munich, but if you can, since that's where it started and Munich is such an awesome city, try to go to the one in Munich. Erica, you and I had done a lot of research on Oktoberfest before we went because I wanted to make sure we did it correct. And I saw pictures and I read blogs and, you know, got all sorts of opinions and commentary. But walking into it, it still surprised me. Describe what it looked like because even though I'd seen so many pictures being there, it was even more cool than I thought it was going to be.
Do you remember what I said? I was like, I had no idea what we were coming to. So huge welcome to Oktoberfest sign, long road ahead with tent after tent of, you know, special treats or carnival games, rides, big, like big food tents, beer tents. I mean, very, very similar to just like a big state fair, but everything was super cute. Like, kind of, you know, like Germany and Epcot, how cute that is. Very, very similar to that. Just, it was way bigger than I was imagining. I didn't expect there to be so many rides, like a huge Ferris wheel and, you know, roller coasters and all that kind of thing. But super cool walking up to it.
It was very much like, kind of like a theme park almost. Yeah, like you walked in the main gate.
Six Flags. Yes.
Yeah. Roller coasters, rides, just very theme park fun. We saw people of all ages. We saw they looked to be like kindergarten aged. A field trip was there. So it wasn't just a bunch of adults drinking beer. No, no, no. And I know we'll elaborate.
That shocked me. It was super kid friendly. Super, super, super kid friendly.
I would absolutely take my kids. Now, and we'll elaborate more here in a minute. The evening time did become more adult, but I would say even the State Fair of Texas at the evening time becomes way more adult. But we saw field trips. We saw families. We saw all sorts of, you know, senior citizens, small children, and everybody in between were there walking to the tent. So we were in like the middle of Munich. And I think it surprised me too, because all the research I did said, what's the number? How many millions of people come?
6.5 million visitors show up every year during Oktoberfest. Or that, okay, we should say, we had a tour guide and she gave us all these numbers. So if something's way off, we're sorry. This is just like the information we were given. So we're not experts for sure, but that's what we were told.
And that's what I was reading beforehand, with like 6.5 million visitors every year. So I was afraid like, oh my gosh, we're going to get to Munich and it's going to be so packed and so crowded and it's going to feel like a zoo. But we got to Munich and we had time beforehand, you know, the day before, and it felt very normal and very relaxed and peaceful. And we even kept like, I don't know what I thought. I thought maybe I'd be able to see Oktoberfest from the Glockenspiel or something. Like, I don't know. I kept thinking like, I don't see it. And then when it was time to actually go to the grounds, we walked. I mean, it was just that easy. We walked and then we took like one little quick, it was just one stop train, just one stop. It was so fast. Right? We took one train.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was it. And then we were there. All the research I did said, there's like a German phrase where you just follow the Lederhosen and that's how you know how to get to Oktoberfest. And that is so true, because once we started walking, then all of a sudden the people in Germany weren't dressed in normal everyday clothes. Everybody was dressed in their dirndls and Lederhosen. And it was easy to find because you just followed the masses. But it still didn't even feel super crowded. I totally believe their numbers are correct. But it was large enough. The grounds were big enough. There were enough rides. There were enough things to do that it just did not feel like a super packed, crowded day.
Yeah, I would say at night, definitely the crowds came out more. Just more people showed up at night. But during the day, no, not at all. Lots of space, lots of, I mean, we rode a couple things and we didn't even wait in line for the rides. And that was even in the evening.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
No tickets are required to go in. So there's like one main entrance of this one. And one exit, and you don't even need tickets. It's not, you know, the State Fair, Disney World, Six Flags. You have to have tickets to get into all those theme parks, but no tickets are required. You can just walk right on in. So that's cool, especially if you want to go and you're on a budget or you're going last minute. You don't have to have advance tickets. You don't have tickets, period. But talk about these tents, because I kept hearing about the tents, and I think tent is not the correct word to describe these structures.
How would I describe the structures? Okay, first of all, there were like 14 big tents where they serve. I would say each has its own like specialty type of food, right? I mean, one was serving beef. One was serving like pure German food. One was considered more like the VIP tent, right? I mean, they kind of all have a theme. But they were huge structures. And they were absolutely stunning on the inside. The first one we went into, we were all talking about how it was very reminiscent of like the It's a Small World ride at Disney World. So many details, like beautiful colors, huge, long, like bench tables all around the inside. There were waiters and waitresses that would come and wait on you. I'm trying to think. Go ahead, sorry.
Like there's a full working kitchen, like huge, huge, big huge. Kitchen in each of these tents, bathrooms in all of these tents, like not porta potties, like actual bathrooms. I don't even know how high the ceilings were. 40 feet high.
Ginormous.
Yes. I mean, each tent holds like, what is it? 6 to 12,000 people that, you know, depending on the tent. So thousands of people can sit comfortably at a table in these tents. And we just assumed because they were so big with flooring and high ceilings and full kitchens and real bathrooms, we assumed they left them up year round and only opened them during Oktoberfest. But no, they told us to take them down and put them up just for Oktoberfest, which blew my mind.
Yeah. So every year they start working on these tents in June to prepare for their Oktoberfest months later and then do the same thing every single year.
It's crazy to me because just looking at the kitchens were gigantic because again, you're ordering, of course you can order beer, but they have full menus. So you're ordering like really good, delicious food. They're preparing for thousands of people every day. And yet it's a structure they can tear down and store away until June when they put it back up.
But I would also add, it was raining when we were in the first tent, like pouring rain, super loud. And it's not the kind of tent where like, oh, there's water leaking in certain spots. Mm-mm. No, no, no. This is like a legit structure. No one's getting wet. Nothing is leaking, but it's absolutely stunning on the inside.
It was really cool. Just going in the tents. So we went in, there are 14 tents in the Munich Oktoberfest and we went in 5 of them. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so.
Because how long were we there? We got there about what time do you think we got there?
Well, we kicked off with a tour, which was what I'd highly recommend. That was great. What time did our tour start? We had to be there at like 9:45?
Yes, I think that's right.
So by the time we got to Oktoberfest, it was probably 10:15 or 10:30. And we were there until 9:30 that night.
And it went by so fast.
Yeah. Complete. I mean, there was so much to do. We were not bored. We probably could have stayed longer, but I mean, we'd been at it for plenty, you know?
Yes. And we had a busy day the next day, but we went in 5 tents. You can't necessarily go in all of them. I think the VIP tent. So to have a table, you have to have like a reservation. And some of these tents we realized you can't just freely go in. They want you to have a ticket to get into the tent and or a ticket to sit at a table. So you can't just freely go in any of them, but we went in 5 and we only had tickets to go into 1. So there were plenty of tents that you were able to go into and probably we could have gone in a lot more. We just were done after 5.
Yeah. The tour though, I would say was the way to start. So the guide took us over to Oktoberfest. She's telling our group all about the history. She walked us around and explained, you know, where things were. She showed us all the big main tents. And then our tour included a ticket at one of the tents and at one of the tables. So we had like 5 hours where we were allowed to stay before they were going to make us leave that space. I would highly, highly, highly recommend a tour, especially for your first time. Like, if we decided to go back, I don't think we would need to do it again. But our first time, that was the way to go. I mean, we would have been a little clueless without her.
Yeah, and I think we just would have barely scratched the surface of the whole experience because she told us the history. She told us how the years that, you know, it wasn't just during COVID that they weren't able to have Oktoberfest. There were a couple of other years that they were not able to have it over the last 220 years. And she told us a little bit about that. She explained the tents. She explained the beer. It was just very interesting. If you love a tour, if you love history, it was also fascinating. So then when we were there, I really appreciated it so much more because I had all of that information. So the beers, Erica, you reminded me earlier about the beers. Tell us about the
beers. There were six breweries that provided beer for Oktoberfest. And she said they had to be local breweries that used Munich water. And then these six breweries supplied the beer for Oktoberfest. And the number she said was there are 6.5 million visitors each year that drink 7.5 million liters of beer while they're there. Whoa.
Yeah.
Right.
So it was fun because the different tents would serve the different of the six beers. So I'm not a beer connoisseur, so I'm not great at telling the difference between them, but you would love it, but you could tell there was a difference between them. And it's neat to know those are just breweries there in Munich. And it just, again, made each tent a little bit more different and special. I loved the tour. I loved the tents. The tents between them were food stands if you wanted to eat other things, you know, not funnel cake, because that's like something you'd see at the State Fair of Texas, but other nibbles and bites and pretzels and sausages and all sorts of German fare. And you could also get drinks and stuff outside of the tents as well. So lots of activity between these tents and rides and things like that too.
Yeah. Another part of the tour that I really enjoyed is she pulled like a guy and a girl up to kind of talk about their outfits, because how many people would you say were in the tour with us? Like 20?
Yes, I would say 20.
Okay, so there were roughly 20 people in our group with one guide, and she, out of 20 people, I would say only two weren't wearing the traditional German uniform, or what would you call it? Costume.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a costume back in the day, in 1810 or whatever, but the like lederhosen and the dirndl for girls.
So when we first decided, okay, we're going to go, this would be the only part where planning a trip within 8 weeks or so got a little, because, so at first we said we're going to go, and Andrew and I just went to like costumesupercenter.com or whatever and ordered a costume. Well, it arrived. And
like a Halloween costume.
Yes, because we didn't know better. It arrived and it looked like a cheap $30 Halloween costume. So I thought, oh, this looks pretty cheap, but whatever. Well, simultaneously, people that I knew that had gone to Oktoberfest, when I told them we were going to go and asked their tips, the very first tip, the number one tip anybody gave me or everybody gave me was make sure you have an authentic dirndl or the lederhosen on if you're a guy and the dirndls are what the girls wear. They said you have to. Like, you will be ridiculous if you're not in an authentic one. Like, you have to. I didn't talk to one single person that didn't stress that you have to have an authentic one, not a costume. And you have to wear it. Like, you can't not wear it. So then Andrew and I tried to find them, and they were very hard to find. We ended up, and we'll link it in our show notes, we ended up finding them in Europe from websites that you can order directly from Europe. We found authentic ones. They were expensive. They were about $200, $250 a piece. They were expensive. They came from Europe, and they were, so many were sold out because at this point we had waited too long. So Andrew and I were like, oh, but everybody kept saying, like, you have to, you have to, you have to. Our friend Tab was like not super on board with wearing them and paying that much money. But everybody, and I went back to a couple of people and I was like, how important is it to really, I mean, we wanted to be fun and festive, but at the same time, for $250, I can buy me some nice clothes I'll wear more than one time. But everybody, they were like, you'll wear it years to come. You'll always have it. They were like, you have to. And now that I've been, oh my gosh, I'm so glad I did. Like, I'm glad I had an authentic one on.
Yes. I mean, that's what everyone was wearing. Everyone had like the leather lederhosen, the actual dirndls that were, you know, kind of long, don't look like a typical Halloween costume that you would see here in America. Like I said, I think two people out of the 20 were in regular street clothes. But Tab kept saying before we went, he kept saying, you know, like at a football game where there are people that are wearing jerseys, and then there are people that have their face painted with like, you know, spikes in their hair to cheer on the team. He was like, are you sure we're not going to show up like the people with the face paint in these, you know, outfits? And Shay kept saying, no, 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 no. And it was true. We weren't at all. Yeah. We fit in perfectly. That's what everyone was wearing.
And they're expensive now that I own a Dirndl. They're expensive because they're so well made. The quality yes. of the fabric, the leather, Erica's had beading on it. Again, we were getting what was left in our size because it was very sold out by the time we tried to do it. You could buy it there. And some people, when we were getting a little stressed, we couldn't find them in our size. Some people that we knew said, well, you can purchase them there. But then that seemed a little stressful and a little cutting it close since we were just getting in the day before, the evening before. So I highly recommend buying them from an authentic place, buying them in advance. And then we all four sized up. So Andrew and I ordered our original size and then had to return them and get the size up. So I think all four of us sized up and that worked really well.
Yeah. I remember on Labor Day weekend ordering mine. So yeah, we just didn't have a lot of time, but they were absolutely gorgeous. Even the guy's detailing on the leather mm-hmm. was really, really nice. So you guys need that if you're headed to Oktoberfest.
And next year, Oktoberfest 2023 in McKinney, Texas, you might see the four of us walking around in ours because we've invested. So we're going to wear
Tab
them.
And Slaughter would say in 2023, 2024, 2025, I mean, pretty much for the rest of his life, when you ask him what he's going to be for Halloween, he's going to say a German guy. Right?
I know, but I'm so glad we had them. Glad we had them. I just don't think we would have had the same experience if we'd been in normal clothes.
Yeah. I mean, we would have stuck out in reverse, you know?
Yeah.
You want to talk about just our day and kind of what that looked like a little bit?
Yeah. So you said we were there for about 12 hours, which sounds crazy. And we didn't plan on that. We had even talked about, well, after Oktoberfest, we could go get dinner. Like,
yes.
We did not plan on being there 12 hours. We had a tour. We met at the tour guide at a specific location. We had a tour that was supposed to last 7 hours. The first 2 hours were, she was going to give us a walking tour of Oktoberfest. And the last 5 hours, we could be just independent in a tent. We had a table reserved in a tent. I thought 7 hours seemed like a long time, but yeah. We ended up staying way past 7 hours. The first 2 hours were great. And again, this is all the information we said. She was so sweet, born and raised in Munich. She had so much knowledge. She was older than us because she said she had a son that was like in his 20s. So really, she longtime resident of Munich. The information we got, it's like going to any sort of a museum or a castle. You get a great tour and all the history. So that was really fun. And then when it was time to go to our tent where we had a table reserved, it was packed. You were on authentic, like heavy wooden tables with wooden benches, and you are packed in there, but it was so fun. So we had this spot and we were there for several hours, but we had a wait staff that came over. There were servers all over the tent and we could order food off a menu. So it wasn't like anything prefixed. Like there were choices. We had delicious German food, the best German food I've ever had.
Our tour came with like a lunch ticket, beer yes. tickets. That was part of our tour that we paid for. So we used those tickets at lunch.
Yeah.
And one other thing, when you talked about how packed it was, do you remember we took our coats off because we wanted to just be a little more comfortable. But there wasn't even space between the benches to walk. You know, like you kind of had to step inside the picnic tables. And we were like back to back with these older gentlemen. Do you remember that? It was kind of chilly yes. and it was like, okay, they're warm. We're warm. Everybody's close and tight. And I mean, it was super, super fun. Might sound crazy as I'm explaining that, but just very packed, lots of people.
It was so fun. And we were sitting at a table filled with people that were not American. And that was fun too. There were
other German people on the left of us, German people on the right. It was interesting to get to like talk to them and share their experiences. And some of them had flown in, you know, from other parts of Germany to experience Oktoberfest. And yeah.
It was really, really fun. And after our time in the tent was over, then that means our tour was over. And so the four of us, we decided, okay, we liked that tent. So we stayed. We hung out there. We met some British guys and gals, and they were super nice. And we talked about, you know, how much fun we were having. They gave us some tips and it was great talking to these other people. And then we kind of went tent hopping a little bit. And in between we rode some rides and before you knew it, it was 9:30 and it was like, wow, we had been there all day.
Yes, I know. Time literally was flying because we were having so much fun. Yeah, I remember us walking out of the gates at 9:30 p.m.
Yeah, you don't have to be there that long. And if you wanted to bring your kids and wanted to make it more of a family thing, you certainly don't have to be there that long. But I think we all four really enjoyed the fellowship and the community of everybody around us. It was just really neat to see so many different people from all over the world come together. And what were we even doing? They had live music. I think we should talk about that.
One of the tents had a big band in the middle. And so the tables were all surrounding it. And that was really fun because they would play a German song and then they would play Sweet Home Alabama and they would play another German song and they'd play Country Roads by John. It kept everyone engaged no matter where you were from.
Yeah. So live music, food, and beer were the three big things inside all of these tents. You're there to listen to the music, to eat, and then have community. And we really did. We enjoyed talking to everybody. When I got on the plane the next night to fly to London, Andrew and I, our seats got separated. So I was sitting next to a stranger and he came, a British guy. He was flying back home to London, but he sat down next to me in his lederhosen. So he had just been to Oktoberfest and now he was on a flight back home. And only during October, I mean, it was not even weird at all because I'm like, just during Oktoberfest, this is what you do.
Well, I would even say in the streets everywhere, people were wearing in our hotel. I mean, everybody had that on. So definitely that was the norm. And I would add too that if we hadn't had a tour, I don't think we would have drawn the day out that long. But since we, you know, the beginning of the day for technically like 7 hours, we had somebody with us who was talking, you know, and explaining everything. So anyway.
Yeah. I also don't think we would have gotten there as early if the tour hadn't started early.
Yeah.
And I loved being there early because it was more kid friendly, family friendly. It was a completely, or not, maybe not completely different vibe, but just a different vibe than the evening vibe. So I'm glad I got to experience both of them.
Absolutely. We would tell you a couple tips now after we've gone to Oktoberfest. The first one is bring cash.
Yes.
Cash.
Bring that euro.
Yes, because they did not take cards at any of the tents. So any food, any drinks, any of that, you needed euros.
There are ATMs, though, located all throughout Oktoberfest. So if you want to bring some euro and then also bring your ATM card, that's what we did. And that worked because it was very technologically savvy inside. You know, you ordered off a QR code, the servers were putting it into an iPad. So very tech savvy, but they just wanted you to pay in euro. So make sure you bring euro or your ATM card.
Yes. What do you think? How many days do you recommend? Do you like what we did?
Yeah, I think for sure one full day was plenty for me. I think I wouldn't feel the need to go days back to back, but I could see if I went to Munich for 5 days going the first day and then maybe the fourth day. I think I totally could have gone back a few days later, but really I felt like it was such a perfect one full day. I almost think that was just right. I definitely think that we will go back in the future though. It was so fun that one full day is not going to last me a lifetime, but I thought it was a great amount for this trip.
I agree. I think we were there for so many hours that it was absolutely perfect. And that's what we had planned outside of like, well, we could go here for dinner. So it worked out very well for us. You mentioned the tables being reserved.
Yes. I think that's another an important tip. Yeah. First timers tip. Make sure you have a table reserved. So what we were told is, one, get a tour that includes a spot at a table. That's what we did. It was so easy to do that. Our travel agency booked the tour. Our travel agency booked all of that. So it's something that tours can do for you. Or you just need to, in advance, get a spot at a table. We were told by multiple people that had tables, you have to buy them your table. You have to buy a full table so that you're paying for 10 people to be at a table. And it's not just the 10 people, but it's each of those people get 2 beer and a meal. So you pay for that in advance in May to reserve it. So these tour companies, they just buy up a lot of those. And that's how you get a spot at their table. But if you wanted to individually buy one, you need to do some pre-planning on that. Because I would say you can pop into a lot of these tents, but you really try to get a table reserved if you can.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. What other tips? Anything else?
I don't think so.
Yeah, it was just fun.
Our other tip would be you should go.
Yes.
You know, next year, 5 years, 10 years, grab some friends, make it something you guys want to put on your calendar one day, because it was a lot of fun.
Yes. We saw all different groups there too. We saw lots of married couples. We saw guys groups. We saw girls groups. So, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be a couple's thing. It was just so fun. Take your family. Because we saw a lot of families there.
Yeah.
It was
lots
just
of
so
kids.
Much fun.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So what else? I mean, we're going to show you on our blogs what else we did in Munich. But what are some other things that if people reach out to Mix and Match Travel and want to, you know, visit Munich and see Oktoberfest, what are some other things they can do while they're there?
Munich is a great European city. It's just one of my absolute favorites. And there is so much you can do. So if you're thinking, okay, we want to go to Oktoberfest. Sounds like you guys are saying one full day is enough. What do I do with the rest of my time? I'll give you some quick tips right here. One, the city of Munich itself is fantastic. The Glockenspiel, of course, is there.
So cute.
The fine dining, relaxed outdoor dining, so much shopping, whether you want to do like boutiques and very like quintessential German shops, or if you want to do high-end shopping, it's all there. Munich is great. There are art galleries, so much just in Munich. You can also go to the concentration camp. Dachau is right outside of Munich. A day trip to Eagle's Nest is very doable. Eagle's Nest is really an incredible location. Hitler had a home there, and you can go up in the elevator and you can tour his mountainside retreat if you want to do that. Salzburg, Austria. Easy day trip. You can be there and back. It's a full day, but you can definitely go to Salzburg and back in a day. That's a great trip. And then the famous Neuschwanstein Castle is also there. I think if we had one extra day, that's what I would have had us do. I've been several times. It's absolutely gorgeous. No matter what time of year you visit, it's gorgeous. So those are all day trips. So you can make it a whole big complete trip. It does not have to be just about Oktoberfest. That can be the main reason why you go. It's not in October. I don't know that we've said that yet. It is at the end of September. So you want to make sure when you look at the calendar, the 16 days, maybe 17 if you get lucky like we did, make sure you look, because it is the end of September is when the celebrations are. So there's a lot to do in that area. A beautiful time. It's not a very it's not like summer months where it can be a lot of tourism. There is those extra people there for Oktoberfest, but like we said, it did not feel super crowded. It just felt like a great time to be in Munich.
Yeah, the city, the other excursion, everything that we did, there were people, but it was never overly crowded. So,
all right. Do you want to hit the high notes, Erica, of the other details of our trip? We are going to put on our own individual blogs today. We have photos, our behind the scene photos. We'll post them in the Bestie Breakdown Instagram as well, but we'll have more detail and more photos. So we'll have those all linked in our show notes too, because we did a lot in our 2 nights and 2.5 days there in Munich.
Yeah, we did so much. So we managed to take 2 different flights into 2 different cities, just for like logistical airline miles, points, all those things. And we ended up in Munich. I mean, Tab and I were like walking down the escalator and Andrew was standing at the end of it. And you guys were trying to get your bags at the same time, right? I mean, if that's not the perfect way to kick off a trip, I don't know what is. Like, time was on our side.
Guys, it was crazy. We met at DFW Airport. So Eric and I live, like, you can walk to each other's homes. We live right by each other. We took 2 different cars. We met at DFW Airport, said hi to each other, got a hug in. They left on a flight 30 minutes before our flight. Their flight had a layover in London. Our flight had a layover in Frankfurt. Our flight times were different. Our layover times were different. Our flight had a little delay. Their flight had a little delay. We both had connections to Munich. And I mean, within 5 minutes, our 2 planes
right?
landed. It
yeah,
was crazy.
Our baggage was coming up at the exact same time.
It was insane.
It couldn't have worked better.
It could not have. We got in one van and off we went to our hotel. It was crazy cool how the timing worked. We did all get to fly home together, but going there was a little... And then we went to two different countries and four different flights. And we ended up at the exact same time showing up in Munich. So that was fun.
Yeah, super crazy. And then we checked into our gorgeous hotel. It was in a great location where there was lots of shopping, lots to do. We ate, I don't even remember the places. If you want to name them, throw them out there, Shay, because we ate at some delicious German food restaurants.
We did. We're going to put it all on our blog because we took pictures of the food and the restaurants. Just know you need to check our blogs for all the specifics. We had reservation seat dinner, all of these, two nights while we were there?
Yeah.
And
we didn't end up going to one because of Oktoberfest. Yeah, yes. Just the first night.
And it was so delicious, and we could walk everywhere from our hotel. We did not have to Uber. It was, or take a cab. You could walk to the Glockenspiel. You could walk to the city center. It was just in a really great location. So it all worked out really well that we were there and that we had a convenient stroll wherever we needed to go.
Yes. And like we've mentioned before, if you're interested in a trip like this as well, we know who can help. Mix and Match Travel Agency is available to help with any international destinations. Munich, another town in Germany where you'd like to hit up a little Oktoberfest festival as well. Please, please reach out to us. You can find us at mixandmatchtravelagency.com. And we would love to work with you and plan something amazing like this for you, too.
I mean, shameless plug, but really, the best vacation.
I tried to even change my voice.
I mean, we have the best vacation, and it's what we do. So we would love to pass that on to you guys. It was so much fun. Even if you have never thought about going before, give it serious consideration. Even if you're not interested in Oktoberfest, go to Munich some other time of the year. It was a great, great place for us to go. For a few days. We loved it. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break and be right back with your random reader questions for this week. So we'll be right back.
Have you ever wanted to be part of the Bestie Breakdown? Well, guess what? You can. I want you to go to anchor.fm/TheBestieBreakdown and go ahead and click on the button that says messages. And who knows? Your question could be on the next episode of the Bestie Breakdown.
Okay, and we're back with random reader questions. Are you ready for the first one?
I'm ready. Hit me with it.
How long does it take you to get ready in the morning?
Okay. Like, it doesn't take me an hour, but I always just get dressed an hour before I need to be somewhere. Does that make sense? Now, yeah. If I'm like washing my hair, blow drying my hair, curling my hair, like let's say I'm getting ready for church, that could take me almost an hour if I'm showering and doing all of those steps. Today, yes, I probably got ready in 20 minutes, but I still gave myself an hour, you know?
Yeah, I would say most days when I'm just getting ready during the week, not for something special, I'm not washing my hair, I'm just like recurling it or doing something simple to it, I would say like 30 minutes or less. That's from start to finish, washing my face, everything. But if I'm taking a shower, blow drying my hair, curling it, then an hour.
It's that darn hair.
It is. It'll get you.
My makeup is the same whether I'm going to church. I could probably go to the Emmys tomorrow. I'd have the same makeup, right? And my makeup is the same every day of my life. Even when I try to be like, oh, I'm going to pare it down because I'm just here. It ends up being the exact same makeup. But it is the washing and the brushing and the blow drying and the curling of the hair that takes a long time.
Okay, wait. Do you do the same thing to your eyes every day?
Yes.
Oh, I would say I, like right now, I hardly have any eye makeup on. Like I have a little bit of eyeshadow, but just like one swipe of eyeliner, one swipe of mascara.
Okay.
But if we were going to dinner, I would like add more color. Maybe the eyeliner's a little darker, you know, a couple swipes with the mascara.
Oh no, mine's the same every day. First of all, you know, we're looking at each other on our computers. We're not in the same room. You're sitting in the dark. So you could have a sack over your head right now. I cannot tell. It is so dark where you are.
You know why? I'm in Nixon's bedroom because it's the furthest away from all the construction. They plugged in a machine that sounded, I don't know, like they were crushing large cars into small small pieces. And the office is right by where they were working. So I was like, I've got to get as far away from that. So I've like closed doors and closed as many things as I can so you can't hear the sound. So well, I'm in the closet, basically.
I've been meaning to ask you, is that a solid structure behind you? I can't tell.
Yeah, it's a wall.
It's so dark. It's a wall.
Mm-hmm. I'm leaned up against the wall.
Oh, I've been looking at your shadow in the dark thinking, is that like a sheet or is it like, it almost looks like it could be plastic because it's dark. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. No, it's a wall.
Well, okay, Tab, how long does it take our boys to get ready? I would say Andrew looks amazing in 5 minutes. It's so unfair.
Well, okay. I would say Tab is the same because Tab will do this thing where he cuts his own hair and sometimes he'll think, oh, I need to give myself a little trim. And so I would say he could do the same. It could be an hour because he's over there with scissors and like trimmers giving himself a haircut before a night out. Or he's, you know, washing his face, throwing some gel in his hair, and he's ready in 10 minutes.
How nice would it be not to do all the hair and makeup stuff?
So nice.
So nice. All right, our next random reader question, and thank you to you guys that are turning these in. We do appreciate them, and we pull them out randomly. And so we appreciate them. So this one here from a reader or listener, and we're so used to years of saying reader, listener, what store describes your childhood? Like clothing store, because in parentheses, this person said like the Limited 2 was the coolest. I did love the Limited 2, T-O-O. I loved the Limited 2 when I was younger. But 579 was that store. That's my whole youth right there is 579.
Okay. So I was more limited in the store department. I would say, I mean, I thought Old Navy was a pretty big deal. Mm-hmm. Also in our town, like JCPenney.
Yes.
I would say that. Did you ever have a Goodies?
No, I didn't have a Goodies. I had a Sam Goodie that music, but not a Goodies.
I think that's what it's called. Goodies. It was kind of like a Belk's here or maybe more like a in between a Kohl's and a Belk's.
Was that more like a department store or was it in a standalone?
It was a standalone. Like it stood alone next to other, you know, little stores or whatever.
Yeah, 579. That was for me. In fact, I don't know that I shopped anywhere else. Maybe the Limited 2. I did love the Limited 2. But 579 was it. Yeah, we didn't even have a Belk's. We didn't have any of those that I remember.
Well, I feel like by the time Limited 2, I'd heard of it, I was like too old for Limited 2. I was like in Limited.
You were at the Limited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Next question. What song would you sing at karaoke?
I don't know why, but I am drawn to like a nice, how do I want to say, what there's a whole genre called this.
Ballad?
No, like 70s female, like I Will Survive.
Like Cher?
Something. Okay. Oh, yeah. I could do a Cher song.
Okay.
Like some sort of like a Tina Turner, like some sort of 70s, just female, I Will Survive-ish kind of like, I don't know why. That's what I think I would go to.
Okay. First of all, I would never karaoke by myself. So this is like, this would be like if aliens are taking over, Erica's karaokeing. Secondly, okay, you went that direction. And my first thought is like, well, I'd need it to be something low where I don't have to like hit a high note, you know?
Okay.
I don't exactly know what song that is. Maybe that means like I'm karaokeing to like a male song so I can just sing it low.
Like, are you saying you're singing like a John Denver song? Like Rocky Mountain High?
Yeah. I'm singing something like that where, you know, I'm not like straining and people aren't being like, whoa, she really missed that note. Everybody's just joining me. It needs to be something everybody knows the words to, so they're singing along to.
Okay. Okay. We are all singing Rocky Mountain High with you. I could go Michael Jackson too. I could sing me some Bad, you know, the Thriller, the whole Thriller and Bad, both of those albums. I could just sing all of those songs.
Are you a karaoke person? I mean, I've known you for years.
No,
and I've never
I'm not.
Seen that.
Andrew is a karaoke person. I'll get up there. But Andrew loves him some karaoke. You know that on a cruise ship.
I've witnessed Andrew karaokeing, but I haven't, you know, you, me, Tab, we haven't done it.
I feel like Andrew goes 70 female too. What did he sing?
He sang a Beyonce song.
See? Okay. He's singing the women powerhouse songs too. They just have like a karaoke vibe, right? Like you just get up there with your attitude and
I think he sang something, but what did he sing?
All the single ladies.
Yes. But then everybody, okay. But also it was a song where everyone like joined him in singing along because it was kind of like good energy, you know?
The worst thing you can do when you're singing karaoke is to try.
Well,
right? I always feel for those people that are trying so hard. This is their like Celine Dion moment. I think the worst thing is
a bad idea too. You need something quick, you know?
Oh my gosh, that's our last random reader question. Guys, we broke down Oktoberfest today. It was a lot of just information about our trip, but we hope that you learned a little something. Head to our blogs and our show notes to see more photos and behind the scenes. We just had fun and we wanted to share it with you days after. I mean, we still have jet lag. Days after we went.
We just got back as we're recording this. So we hope you guys will love it. We'll learn something. If you liked it, we would love a great review. And we're looking forward to seeing you next time.
Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll be back next week with season 3, episode 3.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
The Bestie Breakdown is brought to you by Erica Slaughter and Shay Scholl.
It's executive produced by John Reinhardt at Free Dreams Studio, and our associate producer is Jane Lemoyne.
We love emails.
Reach out to us at thebestiebreakdown@gmail.com. I just want to celebrate.